Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrib Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. All right, now, Vivid Sydney 2025, dreaming, stories, songs, and moonlight paddling at the Maritime Museum. Look, as part of the Vivid Sydney 2025, the Australian National Maritime Museum is proud to present Tunku and Nagari, the story of Mirriella, the creator who shaped the first humans. So we're talking about an immersive experience of animation, sound and storytelling will be projected onto the museum rooftop nightly from May 23rd to June 14. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the Manager of Indigenous Programs at the Australian National Maritime Museum, and that's Matt Pohl. Matt's on the line. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Trevor, really good to see you. How are you going?
Yeah, good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
I'm South Sea Islander. Loyalty Islands, brought through the Torres Strait, actually, St. Paul's in 1870s, but I've lived and born, grown up in Sydney country.
All right, beautiful. Thank you very much, brother. And big shout out to your mob. So here we have the Maritime Museum doing an annual event, and now we're talking about rooftop filming. So paint the picture and tell us about the story. Thank you.
Well, the last couple of years, yeah, we've worked with a Sydney-based Aboriginal animation company called Studio Galay. That's Jake Dzinski, and he works closely with artists and makes these short 4-5 sort of 7-minute animations, usually with really important stories from different communities all around the east coast of Australia. Last year we did a big one with the traditional owners of Sydney Harbour.
Yes.
And this year we moved a little bit down south towards the south coast to work with an artist, Cheryl Davidson. She's from Walbunga and Narigo country, which is actually snowy mountain country.
Yes.
Snow, ice, sort of dreaming stories. She's come up with a really beautiful story about the creation of fresh water and shared that with Studio Galay. And so this year's roof projection will be the interpretation of that story called Tunku and Nadi.
So we're talking about optimal vantage points at Pyrmont Bridge, King Street Wharf, as part of the world-famous Vivid Light Walk. So wherever you are in that area, speakers and the filming is happening. So paint that picture. Paint that picture.
Yeah, well, Cheryl Davidson, she works with the South Coast Choir. It's about 9 Narigo Walbunga women. And because there's so many different viewing points to see the rooftop projection, we thought it would be good to try and put the speakers around Darling Harbour.
Good.
So from around 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. every night, you'll be able to hear the beautiful choir song that she created, which is the actual linchpin of the whole story of Tunku and Nadi.
Fantastic. So paint the picture, my friend. Matt, we're talking about this is an annual event, so this is something similar to what you've been doing over the years?
Yeah, well, after we do the rooftop projection, then we bring it in, because that Vivid only goes for 2 weeks.
Okay, yep.
That's all spots all around Sydney Harbour.
Yeah.
But because it's such a special project that we've worked on this year, we'll bring that back into our BAMAL screening space.
Well, I'm talking about an entertaining tool. I'm talking about an entertaining tool, but an educational tool as well. And also keeping our culture alive, brother.
Well, that's the cool thing. You can get out on the kayaks on Sydney Harbour and view it too.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
It's a really great time to just explore and try new ways of getting people out and about in the city.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, fantastic. And so that kicks off from 29th of May, goes right through to 14 June, and 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. every night that happens. Yeah, so we're not talking like heavy metal banging music, jamming, you know, like upsetting the sort of patriots or people having a stroll along the waterfront or having their dinner on the you know, footpath, and it's going to affect them. This is going to be soothing, I would say.
On the 29th, we have a very special event too. It's a participatory choir performance a week about the song sheet.
Yeah.
Cheryl's really keen for members of the public to come in and join with her choir.
Oh, fantastic.
That she's written for this performance. Yeah.
So, oh, fantastic.
Keep an eye on the website too. You'll be able to see that project anytime from the 23rd of May online too.
Okay, and website? What website, my friend?
It's called Saltwater Cloud.
Saltwater
Cloud. National Maritime Museum's webpage.
Beautiful.
Or just look for National Maritime Museum and you should be able to find this. We'll be promoting
National Maritime Museum. Yeah. All right, fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing with us. Good luck with it all. And so if you're travelling down there, watch the Rabbitohs play the Roosters or whatever case may be, yeah, go sit on the waterfront and take in the beautiful music. All the best, Matthew. Take care and all the best to the team.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Trevor.
See you, brother. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn, and that's Matt Pohl, manager of the Indigenous programs at the Australian National Maritime Museum. So this immersive experience of animation and storytelling and sound will be projected onto the museum rooftop nightly from May 23rd to June 13, and that's from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. With optimal vantage points at Pyramid Bridge and King Street Wharf as part of the world famous Vivid Light Walk. So there it is. Check it out, you mob. Vivid City 2025, Dreaming Story Songs, Moonlight and Paddling at the Maritime Museum. So there, as Matt said, you could be cruising in the harbour there, paddling and hearing music and fantastic. Immersed in First Nation culture. Too deadly. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? We're live with the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob. Too deadly. National Talk Black.
Got your mark. From the Stingray Clan, dance all night if you can. Dancing man from the Stingray Clan, dance all night if you can. Front line, back line, everybody in time. Midnight, daylight, everybody betting right. If she can, dancing girl from the Stingray Clan, dance all night if she can. Front line, back line, everybody in time. Midnight, daylight, everybody turning right. Hot time, hot time. Dancing man from the Stingray Clan, dance all night if he can. Dancing man from the Stingray Clan, dance all night if he can.
National Talk Black.
Sitting under the ganja wood tree. Is this work together, we can figure it out.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, guide dog handlers calling for stronger enforcement of discrimination laws within rideshare and taxi companies. So with the International Guide Dog Day happening on Wednesday, 30 April, here's a story about the concerning trend of guide dog handlers being illegally refused access to rideshare and taxi services. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn with Guide Dogs Queensland CEO, Jock Beveridge. Jock's on the line. Jock, good morning. How are you?
G'day, Trevor. Yeah, really well, thanks. Great to be with you.
Yeah, great. And thank you for coming to the program. Look, it's sad. Here we are in the 21st century, and we've got discrimination happening towards our guide dog handlers. I mean, well-trained dogs, and they are a guide to the individual as such. But are you finding discrimination laws with rideshare and taxis? They don't allow the people to travel with dogs. Is that the case?
Mm. Well, the laws are actually pretty good, Trevor.
Okay.
It's the enforcement and following them that there's a problem with. So, yeah, we have about a third of our guide dog clients report being refused access to rideshare. So what happens, that means, is they order a taxi or a rideshare, and when they pull up and realise that the handler's got a guide dog, they'll just take off.
Is that right?
Get to the end of the street and realise there's a dog, and they'll just pull away.
Yeah. Do the guide dog handlers need to let the rideshare taxi companies know that they got a dog with them, or how's that work? What's the ruling there?
No, they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not a requirement. Certainly in the law, the dogs essentially have a right to go wherever the person does. So that includes in the taxi and rideshare.
Mm.
Sometimes clients might let them know as a courtesy, they don't normally let them know. It's often as they're approaching that the drivers all realise that there's a dog with the client.
So how do we police it in that sense?
Well, it's a difficult one, I really think a big factor in this is just creating the conversation. So I guess that's one of the things I'd love to engage your listeners in, I guess, which would be to every time they jump in a taxi or a rideshare, is to have a chat with the driver about whether they've ever had a guide dog in the car, and do they know that it's the law to let customers with a guide dog in the car, and just have a yarn, as you say, about it, because I think awareness is an issue here. Sometimes drivers might not be aware. We're asking the taxi and rideshare companies to do a lot more about the training of their drivers and holding the drivers accountable.
Exactly.
So they can play a role in that as well.
Yeah.
But I think this has to be led from the ground up.
Sure, exactly. And there he is, just having those conversations, that's how the community could help. Even if they're, if they don't operate with a guide dog, but just have that conversation, to put it out there and just keep it in the mind of the rideshare drivers and the taxi drivers, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if your listeners to reflect this conversation to the driver, drivers, as you know, always up for a chat. So
yeah.
I hope I heard this story on the radio the other day about
blind
people getting rejected from a cab because they've got a dog, you know.
How do you feel about that? Do you operate? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Guilt may fall upon them, may change their way of thinking.
It could do, yeah. And it's certainly not all drivers.
Sure.
But look, the drivers talk amongst themselves as well. Yeah. Mm. So I think the more we can raise awareness and conversation around this issue, I think the more we're going to knock it on the head.
Exactly. Well, look, my mind went to the dog in regard to the well-trained dog. So if we're talking about relieving themselves, would that be a problem? Is that the case? But they're pretty well trained, are they not?
Yeah, no. Good question, Trevor. And these are really well trained dogs.
Yes.
They're about 2 years old before they even get placed with someone to be a guide dog. So they've spent that first 2 years of their life learning all the skills they need. And and one of those is how to travel safely. So they're trained to just curl up in the footwell of a car. They'll sit there quietly. They don't get up on the seats or anything.
Yeah.
And they toilet on command, so
sure.
We've never had a guide dog need to go to the toilet in a vehicle of any sort, whether
exactly.
it's a taxi or a private vehicle. So,
well-trained dogs.
Well-trained dogs, safe to travel. They've been trained to travel safely and discreetly, so certainly drivers don't need to be worried about that in any way.
So here we've got happening Wednesday, 30 April, International Guide Dog Day, but if you look at it, International Guide Dog Day could be 365 days a year. Every time you get in a cab or ride share, make the yarn.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. No, look, but International Guide Dog Day does provide an opportunity for us to
exactly.
Talk about it. And look, just yesterday we celebrated 30 new guide dog matchings with people with low vision and blindness all over the state. So,
yes.
There's 30 more. People that are going to be out and about there in the community, and we want to make that community as accessible as we can. So we don't want them left stranded on the side of the road because a taxi or ride share has decided to cancel their ride on them. So,
exactly. Well, my friend, thank you very much for the yarn, and we're having a conversation here on National Talk Back, which goes across the country, and it puts it in my mind. I didn't realise there was a problem in discrimination laws as such. But now I'm well aware of it. I'm an announcer, so I'll be talking to it as well, Jock. So good yarn, and thank you for coming to the program.
Good on you. Thanks, Trevor, and thanks to your listeners.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there. Jock Beveridge, his name is Guide Dog Queensland CEO. And as I mentioned, I wasn't aware of it. You don't know if you don't know. But there is discrimination laws within rideshare and taxi companies when they're taking on a passenger with the dog, guide dog handlers, and they're calling for stronger enforcement. So we need to stamp out racism across the board, and racism in regard to discriminative laws regarding dogs. So there it is. Food for thought, you mob. Have that yarn when you get in a taxi or get in a rideshare next time. Just talk about talk to the driver. Pop the question. Do you carry guide dogs? Do you know that I heard a yarn there on radio? And they were talking about discrimination on it. Just have that conversation. Let's support our beautiful people out there, black and white, as guide dog handlers. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? 1 hour program live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BBM Bumbleprint Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Radio Service. Have you say yarn up strong, National Talk Black.
They gon' know my name. 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 I wanna make you sore. I wanna hit the field. I'm gonna sing it live, so you know it's real. Create the kind of love to give the world a light. Shine it till you can't ignore that you're feeling right.
Take the ball and I'll make you proud of what you become. Say no second to delay. If you fall, that's your lesson learned.
long,
when the day is long,
when you're feeling right,
feeling right,
when you're crying out for some peace of mind, when you're feeling low.
Slewa.
Lem ready, au bakirge, das mili, au muriske. Lem ready, au bakirge, das mili, au muriske. Lem ready, au bakirge, das mili, au muriske. Tabakesle. Tabakeslewa.
Tag mauki mauki. Teter mauki mauki.
First Nations Connect is Telstra's phone line and service centre for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander customers. You can call our friendly team on 1800 444 403 if you have any questions about your Telstra phone or internet plan, or visit telstra.com and search First Nations Connect. That's 1800 444 403 and telstra.com. Search First Nations Connect.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide and listen. See it. Be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BB and Bummer Bib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob. Now, dose of culture medicine to decolonise healthcare. Look, a very important yarn. We're going to have a yarn with Dr. Lana Gall, a research fellow at Southern Cross University. And we have Dr. Gall on the line. Dr. Gall, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, can you tell the mob who you mob, where you're from?
Yeah, so I'm a Tarulaway woman from the northeast coast of Luchawita in Tassie. So yeah, our people are from that that northeast coast of Tassie, so it includes like Flinders Island and all of that.
Yes. Beautiful.
That's where I'm from.
Thank you very much. So here we have a yarn here, a dose of culture, medicine to decolonize healthcare. So my mind goes straight away to medicine, bush medicine, which we've been using for 60,000 years. So is bush medicine, black medicine, is it at the table in regard to the healthcare of this country? Yes or no?
Well, I guess depends where you look.
Sure.
At the moment with, our health system, it is a biomedical health system.
Yeah.
So it's kind of grounded on, that understanding of medicine and health. So it's a more of a reductionist way of doing things. That's why we have, you'll have like your GP, but then you'll be sent off to different specialists. So they look at the body as separate pieces. So, you'll go to someone for your bones, you go to someone for your heart, things like that.
Yep.
Where our medicines are, they're grounded on our holistic and collectivist worldview. So our idea of, the body being the whole, but also our connections to each other and to Mother Earth.
Mm. Is the medical world using cultural medicine?
Not really. There is some use of it. I mean, this isn't something that I've looked at specifically. We looked at the different policies.
Okay.
And what we found from the policy side of things is there was very little information there. So we looked at 52 different national health policies in Australia to see if there was any mention at all around
cultural medicine.
Cultural medicines, our black medicine.
And
basically found that, basically little to no information there. So that's what, we decided to write that up and let people know about it, basically.
So policies written, 52 of them, and you didn't find a lot of mentioning of cultural medicine in the 52 policies that was stated?
No. There was nine policies that included any explicit mention of our medicine at all, but some of those it was mentioned by accident, so it was through, mentioning the Nunkery and about the Nunkery doing like a welcome and opening up, a certain area.
Mm.
So it wasn't actually talking about them as our healers in the sense of giving, providing medicine to our people. So it was more about other things that they were doing. There was very little, at that kind of national level guidance or leadership around our medicines from that kind of,
In your research, Dr. Gall, do you have Nacho at the table?
Yes. So
National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation?
Yeah, so they're our key partner.
Yes, good.
And so basically, back before we started this work, so this work was actually part of a large co-design project where I brought together, different mob from, so there's some that are key sector representatives, but also, researchers and elders and young people. And we brought everyone together to do this project from the start because we actually had, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health practitioners out there, so doctors, pharmacists, things like that. They reached out to us and they said, look, we've got mold, our patients who are using our medicines, and we want to support them to use our medicine, but there's no policies out there to support them.
Okay.
And so they were worried because, they obviously want to support us to use our medicine, but, if they don't have policies to protect them when doing that, that can cause trouble for them.
Of course, exactly.
Doing their
jobs. But if you look at it, it's a possibility of it becoming an industry as such. And we're talking about, access, and then we're talking about costing. It'd be a lot cheaper dealing with our mob, and then creates a whole new industry, entrepreneurs, as well as employment for our black people in this space, I would think, Dr. Gall.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why, so my research program is called Tunipuri Nijini Tunipurala. So that means old knowledge, strong knowledge in my language.
Yeah.
And so one whole side of it is around respect, and that's about you know, doing this work around the policies, trying to get respectful policies around our medicines. But the other side is protect, so strong knowledge.
Mm.
And that's around we need to protect our Indigenous knowledges in Australia through law.
Yep.
Because at the moment, if we were to just start talking about our medicines as openly as we would like to, because we are a very sharing and giving culture
yes.
as a whole, if we started doing that, and I know it has been done already, but if we kept doing that...
Rapage and pillage.
Telling everyone, yeah, that's basically it. It opens up our knowledge to biopiracy and misappropriation. So that's where pharmaceutical companies and cosmetics companies, all these big groups, they can kind of come in, basically steal our knowledge and profit off us.
Exactly, yeah.
We get nothing, you know, that industry doesn't end up with us, like you're saying.
Well, you're between a rock and a hard place, aren't you, Dr. Gall?
Yeah.
Because the fact that we want to promote our black medicine and our cultural medicine and put it out there, but at the same time, we don't want non-Indigenous people grabbing it and a big company turns it into a multi-billion dollar factory they're building over in America, then the tariff range comes in and or whatever case might be, it just highlights the rapage and pillage of our knowledge.
Yeah, and that's why I'm doing, I guess I'm working in both these sides and making sure that the work we do in the policy side doesn't actually expose any of the knowledge.
Sure.
It's just around, and that's why NACHO is our key partner. So we want to work with our community-controlled health sector
Beautiful.
First for them to lead the way and, you know,
create the industry as such, but also protect the information.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's really important. And as you said, like overseas, we've seen instances where, you know, for certain food or medicine, or for us that's both, you know, it becomes so popular,
exactly.
you know, that these industries, they take it and they take over basically the agricultural side of it, and then we end up not having access
exactly.
at all to our own medicine. So
I hear you, yes. Dr. Gall, thank you very much for sharing. Look, good luck with it all. Uphill battle. Big shout out to NACHO at the table with you as well. But we're talking about 52 policies and only mention of 9 cultural medicines in those 52 policies. Talk about closing the gap. We're still behind that field, aren't we?
Yeah. And this is, you know, a way that we can really work towards, you know, bringing a holistic, you know, medicine to our people. It's our medicine.
It's our medicine. I love how you said that.
Yeah.
Dr. Gall, thank you very much. You take care. All the best, and we'll yarn soon, my sister.
Yes, that sounds good.
Thanks, you take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Dr. Lana Gall, her name is, research fellow at Southern Cross University, and talking about the inclusion of our medicine in the medical world, cultural medicine, that is. But the 52 policies that were written from the medical world, only 9 mention of cultural medicine, and we want to put it out there for our people, especially, and who use bush medicines from day dot. But also, it's safe, and it's also be affordable in regarding to medicine. But at the same time, we don't want medicine get out there and taken by a big medical company, so to speak, and then turn into a factory and steal the information. And so between a rock and a hard place, so yeah, fight the good fight. Thank you, Dr. Gall. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in yarn up strong. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. 1 hour program, but Deadly Yarns on National Talk Black. Have you say, yarn up strong. National Talk Black, too deadly.
Oh, National Talk Black.